Welcome to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 33, and this chapter gives an overview of Israel's journeys, a command to drive out all the inhabitants of the land, and the consequence of not driving out the inhabitants of the land. Verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt, with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. Keep going.
You look at how orderly God is. In other words, he's following the instructions, and he's to be keeping a record of everything they did. I mean, if you look at the God giving him the Constitution, telling him to write all this in the book, the Law of Moses. And then he is to keep an ongoing record of all the journeys that they make, the encampments, all this type thing. And he's pretty detailed when you look at it from the perspective of all he had to record. You know?
And they departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments.
So obviously Ramesses is a city in Egypt. That's where the Israelites made their departure from, okay?
And the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Succoth. And they departed from Succoth and pitched in Etham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. And they removed from Etham and turned again unto Pihahiroth, which is before Baal Zephon, and they pitched before Migdal. And they departed from Pihahiroth, and passed through the midst of the sea unto the wilderness, and went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham, and pitched in Marah. And they removed from Marah, and came unto Elam, and in Elam were 12 fountains of water, and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. And they removed from Elam and encamped by the Red Sea. And they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dophka. And they departed from Dophka and encamped in Alish. And they removed from Alish and encamped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. And they departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. And they removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched at Kibroth Hattaavah. And they departed from Kibroth Hattaavah and encamped at Ahizroth. And they departed from Ahizroth and pitched in Rithma. And they departed from Rithma and pitched in Rimmon-Perez. And they departed from Rimmon-Perez and pitched in Libna. And they removed from Libna and pitched at Rizza. And they journeyed from Rizza and pitched at Kia-Laetha. And they went from Kia-Laetha and pitched in Mount Sefer. And they removed from Mount Sefer and encamped in Hareda. And they removed from Hareda and pitched in Machelath. And they removed from Machelath and encamped in Tahath. And they departed from Tahath and pitched in Tera. And they removed from Tera and pitched in Mithka. And they went from Mithka and pitched in Hashmana. And they departed from Hashmana and encamped in Mosereth. And they departed from Mosereth and pitched in Benajaakan. And they removed from Benajaakan and camped in Horah-Gidgad. And they went from Horah-Gidgad and pitched at Jotbatha. And they removed from Jotbatha and encamped in Abarona. And they departed from Abarona and encamped in Ezan-Geber. And they removed from Ezan-Geber and pitched in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. And they removed from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hor, in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up into the Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. And King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south in the land of Canaan, heard the coming of the children of Israel. And they departed from Mount Hor and pitched in Zalmanah. And they departed from Zalmanah and pitched in Punon. And they departed from Punon and pitched in Oboth. And they departed from Oboth and pitched in Ijeabarim, in the border of Moab. And they departed from Iam and pitched in Dibengad. And they removed from Dibengad and encamped in Almon Diblathaim. And they removed from Almon Diblathaim and pitched in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. And they departed from the mountains of Abarim and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. And they pitched by Jordan, by Beth-Jesimoth, even unto Al-Bel-Shittim in the plains of Moab. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, there you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, and destroy all their pitchers, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers you shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them.
You got it.
Thank you, Lord.
If you look at this, 40 years now they've wandered in the wilderness, as we would say. And Aaron, it's time for him to die, 40 years, okay? And he goes up to Mount Hor. Now, what interests me in this is how many times they camped and broke camp in this 40-year period. And it's basically coming out to about once a year. Well, actually, I think if you count these as 41 or 42 encampments that they had, all this was by the instruction of God. He said, by the moving of the cloud, when they were to leave, and when the cloud stopped, where they were to stop. And so, you know, it's not like they moved around every day, per se. You with me? But that was a huge multitude to be breaking camp, setting up camp, assembling the tabernacle and all this, and going through their daily routine of life in the process of all this. It's actually pretty incredible when you think about it. then the Lord gave in Moses instructions. It's amazing how he's covering all these bases before he dies, because he's going to die too in this time, okay, in this time period. And the Lord gives him instruction to give to the nation of Israel, once you cross the Jordan River, then this is what you're to do. You are to totally annihilate the seven nations that God named, destroy all their engraved stones, their idols, images, all their high places where they had been involved in their idol worship or demonic worship, and they're to drive out all the inhabitants in the land that God had given to them to possess. Now, I want you to note this. He said drive them out. He did not say cohabit with them. God is not wanting us to cohabit with our enemy. God is not wanting us to cohabit, if you will, with people who do not serve the God we serve. And I'm telling you, Christians haven't caught on to this yet, and they're entering into all types of ungodly associations. And so this is a principle here that we need to see. You know, God has given us a fabulous covenant through Jesus Christ. But that's not of the flesh. And so flesh can't cohabit with the spirit. The flesh, and I'm talking about carnality, is an enemy. You look at the 8th chapter of Romans, it's an enemy of the spirit. It's hostile. Actually, the word enmity is what the King James uses. It actually, if you look at the definition, is hostile. And so the carnal mind is hostile toward the spirit of God. We have to drive out. And how do we do that? He said, put it to death. Kill it. You see the principle that he's given here? This body was used by the enemy. Drive the enemy out and possess the land. You take possession over that body, and the spirit man is to use that body to glorify God. They were to use the land that God gave them to honor and glorify God. You see that? You see the principle in all this? Now, here he said that they're to divide the land according to their inheritance. Obviously, this is a physical distribution of the land. The larger tribes, the one with the more population, was obviously to be given more property. And the lesser, least, it was proportionate to the population of each tribe. And he said, now, if you don't drive out, now let me back up. Each tribe is responsible for driving the enemy out of its territory. Now, they could ally together and work together to drive the enemy out, but nevertheless, that enemy was to be driven out of their territory. He said, if you don't, then that enemy is going to be like thorns in your side, briars in your eyes. In other words, they're going to bring trouble for you. It's going to be uncomfortable for you if you leave the enemy in the land. You look at what's going on today in the nation of Israel. You ought to drive the enemy out of the land. You can't negotiate with the devil. And you don't negotiate with the flesh. You crucify the flesh, is what he says, so the spirit can do what God wants him to do. Now, he said, if you don't do this, if you don't drive them out, then they're going to create trouble for you, because they're going to influence you to turn away from God. And then when you turn away from God, you leave God no alternative. He's going to execute judgment against Israel. And God will do to Israel what he did to them, because they didn't honor the land. And so it's extremely important that we learn the principle that is being revealed here. Don't cohabit with the enemy. What's your enemy? The flesh. 7th chapter of Romans, what does it say? What I want to do, I don't. What I don't want to do, I do. What do I do? You accept Jesus Christ. You reckon yourself dead. That's why Paul could say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me living. What's he saying? It's not that carnal flesh that's manifesting now. The life that I'm living now is the life of Jesus. You understand? Now we're displaying the character of Jesus. Now we're operating with the mind of Christ rather than the mind of the flesh. So there's powerful principle here that we can apply to our daily lives. Okay?
Amen. Chapter 34.
Flesh will have you camping at different places.
I heard that.
Okay.
Yeah. Chapter 34 describes the boundaries of the promised land and the names of the leaders who were to divide the land among the 9.5 tribes of Israel.
Now I want you to pay attention to this. You want to know all this argument today about the boundaries of Israel. What is the territory of Israel? It's written in the Word of God. God Himself established the boundaries for Israel. So all you have to do is get this and then take that to the modern day names that they have today. This is Israel's territory. It was given to them by God. Now listen, all the land, everything, the earth and all that's in it belongs to God. And so God can allot that to whomever He pleases. And so God has chosen to allot that this territory that we're going to see to the nation of Israel. So don't tell me this is your land. No, it's the land God allotted to Israel. Okay?
Okay. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall into you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coast thereof.
The Salt Sea is the Dead Sea, okay, commonly called the Dead Sea, okay?
Okay, let me catch up to you. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the Salt Sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim, and pass to Zin, and the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go to Hazer Adar, and pass to Asmon. And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea.
So it's pretty clear, you know, the Salt Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and he names these various places, how they survey that land, if you will. Okay? And then he says that Mediterranean Sea is their western border. Okay?
Okay.
That's in verse 6.
One of the notes that I have written down that has helped me understand some things here is that the land of Canaan is on the west side. So just to keep that in mind here. In verse 7,
I got ahead of you on verse 6.
Okay. And this shall be your north border. From the great sea ye shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor ye shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath, and the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad.
The great sea is the Mediterranean Sea. I used the word Mediterranean a while ago because that to give you a visual.
Okay. So the Salt Sea is the Dead Sea?
Salt Sea, Dead Sea.
Okay. Verse 9. And the border shall go unto Ziphron, and the goings out shall be at Hazarnon, and, this shall be your north border. And ye shall point out your east border from Hazarnon to Shephon. And the coast shall go down from Shephon to Riblah on the east side of Anan. And the border shall descend and shall reach unto the side of the sea of Cinnereth eastward.
And Cinnereth is the Sea of Galilee. Okay, this is referred to Cinnereth because it was in a city. Cinnereth was there, but it's what we call Sea of Galilee. Cinnereth is used interchangeably. Okay.
And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land with the coast thereof round about. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, This is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance.
So what you see here is the boundary. This is the perimeter, okay? And it goes from this point, go to that point, go to that point, go to that point. This is going to be the territory of Israel. So all the boundaries of the land that God gave to the descendants of Israel are specifically described right here in this 34th chapter and the 32nd chapter of Numbers. And so there should be no question as to the amount of land or its location that belongs to the nation of Israel. And I get tired of hearing what Israel's doing and nobody saying what these other people have done to Israel, how their land has been stolen from them and taken from them. God is very clear, and I'm going to go with the Bible, not the UN or anybody else. I'm going to go with what the Bible says belongs to Israel. Okay?
Amen. Verse 6.
Now, this is divided between nine and a half tribes. Okay? Because on the east side of Jordan, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe Manasseh have already received their inheritance. Okay?
Okay.
10.5. 2.5. 9.5.
Right? That adds up. Okay, I'm going to move
on. Just subtract 2.5 from 12. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
So you have 10, but it's only that 10th one's only half.
That's right.
Okay.
9.5. All right, verse 16 then, right? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, And you shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the names of the men are these, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh.
Before you get into all that, I'll let you take a break and get your pronunciation here, okay? But God is saying who is to divide the land. It's not, well, I want this and I want that. So God is telling the leadership, and the leadership being Joshua, who's going to succeed Moses as the leader of the nation, Eleazar the priest, who is the religious leader, if I can use that word, and then they're to take the leading man of each tribe, the ruler of each tribe, the governor, whatever name we want to put it. A lot of times they call it prince or chief or whatever. They're to take these men, these are the top people that are dividing the territory. And when I say dividing, they're laying out the map. All right, this belongs to this tribe, this belongs to this tribe, this belongs to that tribe. That's their responsibility. It's not the people's responsibility or the people's option to say, I want this. They're dividing the land.
And they're basing those divisions on the size of the tribe.
Population of each tribe.
Okay. Verse 20.
You understand, the boundary is given, but then that boundary is to be divided between 10 and a half tribes. Okay? And later on he gives specifics on, Joshua does that. Before he dies, Joshua has that all surveyed out, okay?
Okay. Verse 20. And of the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel, the son of Ammihud, of the tribe of Benjamin, Eliadab, the son of Chrislon, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan, Bukai, the son of Gorli, the prince of the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel, the son of Ephod, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shiphan, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elizaphan, the son of Parnak, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Issachar, Paltiel, the son of Azan, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahiad, the son of Shimlami, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pediel, the son of Ammihud. These are they whom the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan.
Okay. So Heather's read all those hard names you wanted to avoid. Okay? But here's what I've learned. If it's in the Bible, it's there for a reason. And read it all. Don't just pick and choose what you like. I have people say, well, I'll never read in that area. You know, I don't want to know this, this, and this. Well, I just feel like if God put it there, there's a reason for it. So, as laborious as some reading is, you make yourself read it. And as far as the pronunciation of the names, who knows the correct pronunciation? It's a transliteration anyway, taken from a transliteration. You think something could be lost along the way? So don't get psyched out on, well, what if I don't pronounce it right? Just read it and let the Spirit of the Lord reveal to you the message that He's trying to convey. And really, in all this, He's specifically naming leaders. Genealogy was very important.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be able to prove. You look at the, when Judah went back into the Babylonian captivity, and then when Cyrus released them to go back into their own land, then the priests, they had to be able to prove their genealogy. And if you look at that, it gives you specifics. Those people could tell you, of the ones that returned, the exiles, they could tell you which tribe, which family they belonged to. They kept records for that. You understand? And so he lists these people here to where in their culture, in their day, that would be meaningful to them. What does it mean to us? It means that God selected leaders to divide the land. Okay? And then You look at the way this United States of America is divided. You look at any other nation, how it's divided. Who did it? It was leadership that did it, isn't it? There has to be an order.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And that's what I see in this, and reading these different princes' names, is the importance of leadership. And today you look at things that are going on around us, and so many want to do things their own way and don't want to respect leadership, to adhere to authority. And that's not the way of God.
And note, it's this leadership had to work together.
Yes.
Each tribe. And so everybody has to be in total agreement as to how this land is divided. No politics and all this kind of garbage that you see today. But you should be following the wisdom and counsel of God. And that's what we should be doing today.
You know, when I read through Numbers, I make a point of noting, of underlining the names of the different tribes. And what this does is it keeps in perspective for me the fact that the nation of Israel came out, are descendants of Israel, right? One man with these 12 sons. And out of these 12 sons produced a whole nation because they were blessed by God. They were God's chosen people. And so I try to keep these names before me just to remind myself, this is a mighty work of God here, that these people grew to the point where they were their own nation, to come out of a nation coming out of a nation is miraculous. Now they're ready to take some land that's been promised to them. In chapter 35, this records God's command to give cities and their suburbs to the Levites and to designate six of the cities as cities of refuge.
You understand that in the dividing of the land, the Levites receive no portion. But they have to have somewhere to live, right?
Right.
And so God is telling these tribes, now out of your land, out of your allotment, then there will be cities given to the Levites so they will have a place to live. So a Levite could live in any one of these 12 tribes' allotment. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people miss that because we only think of the tabernacle or temple being in Jerusalem. But what do you do the rest of the time? Do you not need priests? Do you not need representatives of God in areas? Some were there working in the tabernacle, obviously, or the temple, as later on they built the temple and all that. But when you read in the Bible, you'll find that this Levite dwelt in this particular area. Well, there had to be cities there. Now, there's another thing you have to take in consideration also. The priest, the tribe of Levi was designated as representatives of God. So who were the judges? You have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
When there was a judicial case, it went before the priest. Whatever the priest said, that's what you had to go by. And so the priest also acted as judge, given the judgment, supposed to be given the judgment of God to the people. So when you had controversies, it was the priest that settled the controversies. So you needed that in every tribe, didn't you? If you think about it.
Verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them.
So the Levites weren't given a portion of lands and inheritance, so God commanded those who did receive an inheritance of land to give cities to the Levites so they'd have a place to live. As we said earlier, the land surrounding the city was to be given also to the Levites. It's called suburbs, and you'll see more specifics on this as we go along, because they needed a place for their livestock, for fields, vineyards, and so the suburbs was to be given to them, extending 1,500 feet around the city, and the city being set in the center. Well, that sort of sounds like the tabernacle being surrounded by the Levites, doesn't it? And so this is what God designated concerning all these cities with walls, the fortified cities, then, and these cities that were given to the Levites obviously were that. And so this would be the suburb measured from the wall all the way around, north, south, east, west. Okay? So God gave a lot of detail to try to resolve problem before a problem ever arose. You understand?
Yeah, that's good.
We need to take that in consideration. We're going to take a break here with time's up, and we'll come back and pick back up with verse 3. Okay.